Hey everybody, welcome to the Nerdy Rat. This week we're going to have a very spooky episode. We're going to talk about It, Biting Rats, and Princess Bride, and spooky iPhone games.
Ooh. Did you like my spookiness?
Yes, very nice. Welcome, everybody.
Hello, hello. We are on episode 13.
Yeah, I hope everybody's having a good day.
Yeah.
A good week.
So it's September 26th, 2017.
It is Tuesday. And we are the Nerdy Rat. I'm Matt.
I'm Liz.
And let's
get started with some ratty updates.
Yeah, well, let's do, we got a couple of emails.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about our feedback. Emails first.
So one of them was just asking us. Well, no. I'm starting with the other one first.
Never mind.
They sent a video, which is by someone called the Rat Guru.
Okay.
Who makes a bunch of videos about rats on YouTube. And it was 7 popular rat products that aren't actually good for rats. And a lot of them were what you would expect, like the stuff we've talked about, like the balls.
Exactly.
And other stuff like that, and pine bedding and stuff like that. But the one of them, the number one on this video was actually a product that we use, a Snack Shack.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we've talked about it before on the show specifically, but
yeah, I can't remember if we've specifically mentioned Snack Shacks, but we've probably mentioned them in passing.
I've been using them for a couple of years now, and I've never really had a rat get sick from one, but apparently, so they're made of alfalfa and pine,
mm-hmm.
which rats aren't supposed to eat, but most rats that I've had will chew on it and not eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently there have been some cases of rats eating these things. And apparently, I didn't know this, they put honey, one of the ingredients is honey to try and entice the rat to chew on it.
I
guess some rats have eaten it and died from that because they get bound. They can't digest
it. Alfalfa,
and they die. So, because I mean, I've given them just like a straw and stuff. They use it for bedding. If they chew on it, they definitely don't eat it. Because most rats are pretty smart about that stuff. But apparently, there have been some cases where rats have eaten it and died. So I figure better safe than sorry.
Exactly.
I pulled all the ones I had in the cages out, and I just gave them the wood things to chew on. So
and you have to be careful with the wood too. Don't give them pine wood, but make sure it's
safe. I mean, wood is fine because wood's clearly that's not something they're going to try and eat, but they'll just chew on it to keep their teeth down. So I thought that was good, and
we're glad we got that information. Thanks for sending that on. It's good to know.
And the other one was what was her email?
She was talking about, we had done an episode several episodes back about rats that bite. And that was actually in response to something we had seen on a Facebook group where somebody's very, very tame rat bit her out of the blue, but she had been playing with her under a blanket and she stuck her hand under the blanket and it scared her rat and her rat bit her.
Let me just read the first email. So this came from Jenna, and it says, so when you guys tell people that rats bite when you touch them when they're in their hammock or hiding, that why they bite, that it's not true. They only bite if they're scared or if you're doing something that you shouldn't. And to be fair, I think that's true for most rats. I think one thing, in general, rats tend to not bite. I would say 98% of all rats that I come across never bite, no matter what you do to them. One thing with us is we're constantly getting in new rats that we don't know anything about. We don't know where they came from. We don't know how they've been treated prior to coming to us.
And that's because we foster rats with Small
Angels
Rescue.
We don't even know if they've ever interacted with people. So
that's through our work with the foster.
And our advice when we say don't reach to the hammock,
or
generally we're talking about rats that you're not familiar with. If you're not sure what their temperament is, that's when you want to be cautious. That's when you want to be careful about when you approach them, make sure they know you're there, and
like
you know,
can give them a fist
just,
first.
Hold your fist, make a fist, and hold it out. Let them smell it, so they know you're there. But I mean, this is for advice for new rats that you're learning about. Typically, if you've interacted with your rats a number of times, a couple of days, and they show no tendency to bite, you're probably going to be safe. Now, there are situations where a rat may bite, and those are usually different things, like if you're handling another rat and then you come in and try and pick up another rat that's not familiar with you, they may bite because they think another rat is invading their territory, stuff like that. And so there's just so many factors about why a rat can or can't bite. We're not trying to say like that you should never pick up your rat out of a hammock. Once you get to know your rats, you can absolutely do that. I do that all the time. It's not a problem. So, you know,
well, I think the issue we were trying to address is that if your rat is sleeping in the hammock or sleeping in the igloo and you just stick your hand in there, it's going to scare them, which, and that is when they bite, is when they're scared or startled. I mean, I just had one of our girls who's very tame bite me last week because I was stroking the head of her sister who was in the hammock and she was also in there and I tried to pet her and she didn't see me and she bit me. So, you know, in general, we're just trying to caution people of what are likely situations when a rat would bite you that wouldn't normally bite. Like if it's not a normally bitey rat, you want to be cautious if you just stick your hand into the igloo or into the hammock when they're sleeping, because they're sleeping, they're not going to see you coming. They're going to be, they're potentially going to be startled. Yeah. So, you know, just use your own discretion and judgment, of course.
Yeah. And once you get to know your rats, you know what you can and can't do to them.
But like I said, babe, I just got bit last week and I know our rats.
Who bit you?
I don't even know who it was. It was just one of the girls who was in there because I couldn't see who was in there. I was just trying to pet her.
Yeah, I think mostly it's too if they're asleep.
If they're asleep.
You wake them from asleep.
They're startled. They're going to think it's a predator. So that is
and
what's
going to happen. Their natural response to being attacked is to bite. So if they're scared, you need to be aware. So.
And that's just what we were saying is that they are more potentially likely to be scared if they're asleep and you stick your hand in there. Yeah. So just be careful.
That's all we were saying.
Just be careful.
So,
you want to give some ratty updates?
Yeah. Well, let's see. We had Mary Jane and Gwen last episode, right?
Who are our foster rats. We started talking about them a little bit.
We talk about how they're doing much better now, and we've got them to the point. I've got them to the point where I can just take them out of the cage and put them on my shoulder and walk around the room and they're fine. Mm-hmm. And they don't seem to be as scared of noises as they were before.
Right.
Because before, like if you made any noise at all when interacting with them, they would immediately run away, and they're not that scared anymore.
So let's remind people a little bit who these rats are. So they're twins. They're pink-eyed whites. They came in through our Small Angels Rescue and we're fostering them, and they're only a couple months old. They're very young girls. And when we first got them, they were just almost impossible to touch or to handle because they were so frightened. They had been through a lot. So
they
really come around.
The coordinator said that she thought one of them was feral.
Yeah, I think we said that on the last podcast.
That was just because she
had gotten loose at the shelter
and she was scared
and she was
scared. Running around.
Yeah,
and,
she was just very, very scared.
But I've been slowly working with them. We did the pouch at first.
The bonding pouch,
at first, all I could do was just let them crawl into it. And then they would crawl into it and they would be okay when they were in it and they would interact with me that way. Now we're to the point where I've been interacting with them more. They're used to me. I can pick them up and they'll squirm a little, but they won't,
they won't try to run away. Mm-hmm. And actually, they're getting better with me too. Now, Matt's done a lot more of the interacting with them like late at night when he's up because he works the late shift. So I've been, but they are actually coming around to me too, which is good because we want them to get adopted. So we need them comfortable with multiple people, not just Matt. So they're actually now, if I put my hands in the cage, they'll come up and run up to me and kiss me. And they'll even start crawling up on my hands and almost getting on my arms. So they're really becoming a lot more friendly.
Yeah, they'll do that to me too. And then they're interacting with you the same way they interact with me. So
I think a little more cautious with me because I haven't spent quite as much
time
with them.
But
as
whoever
you have.
Adopts them,
yeah, I think they'll be fine at this point.
I think they'll quickly take to whoever.
Exactly.
Whoever
I think it's possible now for them to bond pretty quickly with whoever
adopts
them.
I think we can do introductions with them too and not worry about them running away. Which was I think our coordinator's big concern about them.
Right.
Just if you can't, if you're trying to introduce them to the people.
To the human people, yeah, that they might squirm and run away and get loose even when you were trying to pick them up. But now they're becoming really good girls. And these two girls, I will say, need to have the wheel in the cage with them because they are very hyper.
They're very hyper.
They love to run on that wheel. Yes. They're silly, too.
They crawl up and down the cage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just very high energy girls.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And actually, they're so similar in appearance. The only way I can tell them apart is Spider-Gwen, or Gwen, is the one who does more of the climbing on the cage. And she's also a little bit shyer. She's the one who had gotten loose at the shelter. So now you might not notice it so much because they both love you at this point. But with me, Mary Jane is the one who will be the first to come up and interact with me and be much more outgoing. And Gwen holds back a little bit. But then she's actually gotten brave enough that she comes up and interacts too.
It just seems like Mary Jane is a little more cautious.
Gwen is a little more cautious.
Or the smaller one. Yeah. It's so hard to tell them apart.
Right. Well, and then what was interesting is that once they had both warmed up to me a little bit, I couldn't even tell who was who anymore because Gwen was being as outgoing as Mary Jane. So I think that's excellent. I think it's excellent they've made such good progress.
One of their faces is slightly smaller than the other one. And the one with the smaller face, I believe, is Gwen. So
That's what we're going to go with. I'm sure their new parent will figure out, well, probably give them new names and also figure out a way to tell them apart. Yeah. So
our new adoptee, Dawn, has moved into the big cage with all of her ratties.
Yeah, so we talked about her some last week, too. She was very young, six weeks, not pregnant.
Now,
yes, we were worried she could be.
She was the rat that was found in a poop bag behind somewhere.
Gas station. With her brother in the bag.
So we were worried about her being pregnant, which she's past the time where she would have had the baby. So We're out of the woods on that. We're probably going to get her spayed next month.
Yes, because now that's actually links into what we wanted to say about Krisa, because if you spay them, typically before they're a year old, it can prevent...
You have to do it before 6 months.
Oh, really? It's before 6 months? Yeah. Okay, because our vet, I thought, had told me a year, but... Okay, maybe 6 months. So that prevents
there might be some leeway in there, because I think when we got a... What's her name?
Tippy toe
spayed. I think she might have been over 6 months, but she never got any tumors.
Well, because I had asked Dr. Foster about it, and Dr. Foster once had told me it was before a year old, but other people might have different opinions on that. There's probably not, like you said, a hard and fast.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be super safe,
the rat coordinator
told me six months.
Okay. I would do it up to a year because why not?
Yeah. I mean, do it earlier if you can, but exactly why not if you can't?
So we got Krisa. So. She was around 2 years old. Right. And she had not been spayed by her previous owner.
So she ended up with a mammary tumor last week.
We had her 2 months and she got a mammary tumor.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of expecting she probably would get some.
I was just pointing that out because it's like the incidence of their mammary tumors are so incredibly high when you don't spay.
Oh, it is. It is. Especially later in life.
We kind of knew. We were expecting it.
Like we knew
she's at the age and she's not spayed. Mm-hmm. It's 50-50 chance. So
exactly.
Luckily, it stayed rather small, and we haven't noticed any other ones, so I'm hoping this might be the only one she gets.
Well, knock on wood. Yeah, sometimes they'll get more months down the road. Yeah. But I will say her surgery went really well. She just has a few little stitches, and it looks like it's healing up beautifully. It doesn't look like it's causing her any issues with the healing. And she has been the sweetest little sick girl. She has just been laying in this one hammock and I spoil her, so I've been putting her dinner dish underneath the hammock so she doesn't even have to get out of the hammock.
She sits in the hammock and she'll reach down and grab some food,
like a pea or some corn.
Eat it in her little hammock.
Yes, and I've been really happy too because Pinky, who has had issues with her and everyone in the cage a lot, Pinky has been snuggling her a lot in the hammock to be sweet to her.
It seems like the rats that fight end up snuggling together the most.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think...
I don't know what that is.
Well, maybe it's because they have so many interactions with each other. Eventually, they just become best friends.
Yeah.
But I was really happy to see Pinky snuggling her. And, you know, when Tippy Toe was dying and, you know, right before we took her into the vet, Pinky and Baby Groot were so sweet to her. They never left her alone, and they kept snuggling her the whole time. Mm-hmm. So I was very pleased that Pinky was being sweet, and Creases seemed to really appreciate it. And Creases has been loving getting little head rubs from me while she's in her hammock.
She seems to be recovering well,
too. She's already moving around again. It's been a couple days, and
she's
getting more active.
She had it in
stuff.
A tough spot, too, so healing's going to be difficult.
It was kind of in her armpit.
It's right in the armpit there, where you got like a bunch of different folds coming together.
Yeah. So I
was hoping it doesn't end up getting pulled open, but we'll see.
Well, so far it looks really good.
Yeah, I've been trying not to touch. I've been trying to look at it, but not touch it at all, because I don't want to disturb it and make it any worse.
Right. And also, I will say she's been leaving it alone, thankfully.
We went through the nightmare with Doreen, which I'm pretty sure we've talked about
before.
We have
an episode
where she pulled hers open 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Eventually, you just have to let it heal open like that.
Right.
And keep them on antibiotics, and it will heal.
Right, but it's going to be a lot slower. And
rats are amazing healers. It's incredible. They'll have a scratch on their back, and like the next day it'll be gone.
That's awesome. I love rats. They're so sweet. Yeah. I love them. And they've all been snuggling, of course, with Mommy a lot in the bonding pouch, because I love doing that with them.
Yeah.
And they're just like the sweetest little boots. Like, I've been trying to snuggle a lot with Dawn in there with the other rats so she gets comfortable. And I've been pleased with her, too, because at first, the first couple days we had her in the big cage, she's just been hiding. The girls in the cage like to turn the litter boxes upside down and use it like as a little fort.
We give them igloos, but they'd rather use
they
their litter boxes
use the litter
as an igloo.
Box. It's so cute. So they, isn't that just like kids though? You buy them the expensive present and all they want to do is hide in the box.
I know.
Just like real children, human children. But anyway, the first couple days Dawn was like hanging out only in the litter box tent, but the last couple days she's been getting a lot bolder and she's been exploring the cage.
She's
a lot
finally
more.
Settled in and
I think she's getting comfortable.
She understand her place in the cage and she's not scared of people. And most of the rats are pretty
transition.
Most of the rats are pretty sweet to her anyway.
They are. Well, we took a long time to integrate her into the pack because I think we said in the previous episode we had tried putting her in like pretty quickly, but then they were chasing her, so we did a lot of bonding pouch time. And
I just didn't want to stress her out by pushing
me neither,
you know, especially when we thought she might be pregnant too.
Exactly.
Like, we'll extend it over 2 weeks, so
so we took 2 weeks
because I didn't want to put her in there and then have her babies with everybody in the cage.
We would have had to take her out before then. So I think partly too it was such a big cage, and she was in a Martin 680, which is still a good size cage, but we have a double critter nation, so I think just so many rats, even though she knew him at this point,
having friends to interact with.
It was a lot for her to take in, but I'm really happy she's becoming so outgoing now. That makes me really happy. So I think she's gonna be just fine.
You want to talk about the Poplar Spring open house
coming up? I do.
Sunday.
It is. One of my favorite places to support is Poplar Spring Animal Sanctuary. It's in Poolesville, Maryland, which is kind of up north. And it is a huge farm animal sanctuary. They have many, many, many acres, and they just have every kind of farm animal you can imagine, like goats, horses, sheep, cows.
They got bunny rabbits.
They even have a couple alpacas now. Roosters,
really?
Chickens. And they have such big hearts too. Pigs. They have pigs. They take in pretty much any animal that needs help, any farm animal that needs help. And they're having an open house event on Sunday, so they're not always open for visits. If you sponsor animals, you can you know, if you're like a monthly sponsor of an animal, then you can go visit your sponsored animals, you know, more frequently. But they're having their public open house on Sunday from 1 to 5. And if you want to go on out, they're going to have food
trucks.
So
is it like anybody can go out?
Yeah. So this is like a public one where anybody can come and see the animals. And I'm pretty sure it's free for the open house, but they'll, of course, take donations. They're going to have like a silent auction. They're going to have food trucks, vegan food trucks, of course.
Right.
And you can get to walk around and see all the animals. We've been up there a couple times because I have some sponsored animals, and I just love them. I love their hearts. I love the good work they do.
The goats were pretty cool.
I know. I love...
What's the name of your goat that you sponsored?
Malcolm.
Malcolm.
He's actually the alpha goat.
Oh, is
oh
he?
Yes, he is. And he's so pretty. He's like a pretty cream color. He's kind of like the color of Krista. He's like a champagne color. Mm, and he's such I a see. Good boy.
Yeah, apparently, and they have this huge farm that they let them just roam all over.
Yeah, it's like fenced on the edges, of course, but it's got like creeks and fields and a little forest area.
Yeah, they were saying sometimes they have to go out and find the goats where they went.
Yeah.
To get them to come back to the barn at night.
Yeah. But like they don't ever escape, but it's just like it's such a big property.
Yeah, but it's like acres and acres.
Yeah, it's just space. Amazing. It's amazing. Yeah,
it's a really cool place. If you,
And of course, they're online. We'll post links in our show notes and stuff. But if you're in the area and you want to go visit on Sunday, you will love it. You will love it there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can certainly sponsor some animals and support them online if you feel so inclined.
Yep. All right. I think that's it for animal stuff and
I
rats,
think
right?
So. I think so.
Yeah. If you're interested in adopting Gwen and Mary Jane, their ad is up on the...
Pet Finder.
On Pet Finder.
Mm-hmm. If you're in the Maryland, D.C. area. And
Virginia, too.
Virginia, too, if you're able to come out to Rockville to get them. And they are looking for an adopter who does have previous rat experience. But
yeah.
They're
I'm thinking about asking
sweet.
Them to update that because I feel like,
well,
I mean, some experience would be good, but it's not as bad as we thought it was.
Right, exactly. They've really come a long way.
If you're comfortable handling rats, I think these would be good rats for you.
Yeah.
And moving on to nerdy stuff, we saw The Princess Bride. I know it's an old movie, but...
actually the 30th anniversary.
It's the 30th anniversary, and they were playing it at the Strathmore. And
Music Center.
Strathmore Music Center. They played the movie, and then they had Cary Elwes came out and answered questions for like... he talked and then did a Q&A. He talked for like an hour, hour and a half or so.
So, of course, that's Wesley in the movie. So he was there in person... And I thought it was so much fun because every single person in the audience was a super fan of The Princess Bride. So, like, every time a character made their first appearance on screen, they got a huge round of applause. And, like, people were chanting the lines, like, the most iconic lines.
It was borderline Rocky Horror Picture Show.
It really was. It really was.
I think people were... If it had been a less formal setting, it probably would have gone full Rocky Horror. But it was cool. My only real criticism of the whole event was Strathmore Music Center is not designed to show films, and the way the audio is designed in that hall is not conducive to watching a DVD played from two speakers because everything in that room is just made to echo and reverb.
Right, because it's designed
the
for live music.
Yeah, some of the characters, like Andre's character, was kind of hard to understand what they were saying because of so much echo in that room.
Oh.
And I was pointing out to you, like, when you go to a movie theater, it's all padded
walls
and
carpet.
It is. To keep it, you don't want your speakers to echo. You want them...
So it's like the opposite of what you want for live music, because in live music, you want actually things to be heard without being mic'd. So that's why the room is so acoustically designed like that.
Yeah, I just thought it was an odd choice to show the movie.
Now, see, me, it didn't bother me. I didn't really notice that at all, to be honest with you. But yeah, I do see what Matt's
saying.
It was
the first thing I noticed as soon as
Matt's very
attuned
to
sound
and
things
like that.
I mean, I've worked in movie theater,
so
I know what a movie should sound like.
Exactly.
I was like that. I don't think that's right.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting because I've gone to a lot of mixed media events at classical music halls in the last couple years.
I bet they all struggle with that.
They
that
do. They struggle with the sound quality because it's not designed for that. And I know they're trying to get ticket sales because they have to stay in business, and even their ticket sales don't cover their operating expenses. So I know it's hard.
I was thinking, like, whoever engineers these buildings should build, like, rotating panels that can be flipped.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, like,
that's
padding
actually a genius
on one, you have,
idea.
Like, acoustical foam on one side or just
carpet
or something. And,
right.
Or something that would roll down, you know?
Exactly. Like, I agree. I think that would be much better. And they also need, like, better speakers in general and microphones for people talking.
I think the quality of the speakers were fine. It was just the way that room was built. Is
Really I'm just more talking
to
in
amplified.
General.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just talking in general.
But Cary Elwes had some great stories about the making of this movie.
Oh, he did.
I had no idea. Apparently he broke his foot.
Yeah.
Right before he filmed the scene where they were running into the swamp of
the fire swamp.
The fire swamp.
Yeah. Yeah, like when he was talking with Buttercup like, on top of the mountain, and then when they were running in.
He was worried that he was going to get fired from the movie, and when he finally told the director, he was like, oh, no, we'll move the fighting to the end of the shooting schedule. It's fine. So
yeah, it was nice. And he had written a book, which actually I had just read before we went to go see this event. It's called As You Wish, Inconceivable Tales from the Making of the Princess Bride. And it is a very sweet book, like especially like with all the kind of negativity that's in the air these days. It was just so nice. It seemed like this movie was made with so much love and wonderful people.
It was like it almost didn't get made, and like the director wanted to make it, but they didn't want to let him,
right?
Because it was written, and it's just the strength of the script is why the movie is so good. Because the guy who wrote the book also wrote the script, and the guy who wrote the book happened to be a professional
script writer,
Hollywood script writer. Yeah. So he knew what he was doing when he wrote this movie.
Exactly, and just such a strong sense of humor, and I think all the cast just genuinely loved what they were doing. And
yeah. I when I watched it as a kid, I kind of I don't think I appreciated how deadpanned all the villains were in the movie. It was like, well,
they're
yes,
hilarious.
I have to go strangle my wife.
I know.
And mass execution and do.
He's like, I'm swamped.
I just don't have time.
I know. You know, actually, what I loved is that I've never seen it on the big screen. I've only seen it, you know, at home on TV. Oh. So I was appreciating the costume quality so much more because I love to sew. I love fabric.
Well, not a lot of people saw it in movie theaters because it didn't do that well. I'm pretty sure I went to go see it.
Did
I think
you,
at like the Dollar Theater or something.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Because we had the Mugs of Movies where it was like one of those places where you could get food and beer
that's cool.
and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't getting beer at 8 years old.
I was going to say at 8 years old, yeah. But yeah, no, that's cool though. But no, I love the costumes. Actually, I was thinking it would be awesome to like cosplay as Prince Humperdinck because his costumes are so freaking fabulous. Like you could do like a Lolita dress with like the tights and everything and the velvet. Oh my gosh, I might try to do that in some point in
the
future.
I think they got the same costume designer as they used on Spaceballs.
Oh, really?
I mean, the outfit, I don't know if that's true or not, but they look like they reminded me of the outfits from the Druids and Spaceballs.
You're right. Yeah. Like, just the fabulosity. I loved it. So we had a good time, basically. We had an excellent time.
It was
time.
Cool. My foot was hurting, but it was still a good time.
Like you were like, Wesley, you broke your foot. Do they know what happened to your foot? Did we talk about that last episode?
I just jammed it real good.
Yeah, not broken, but.
Yeah, I think I did talk about it last time.
Yeah.
It's finally at a point where I walked almost a mile today. And
oh, good. Didn't hurt.
Yeah, didn't kill me. I mean, it's still a little sore, but it's not hurting at this point.
That's good.
Which is good.
That's good. So anyway, keep an eye out because Cary Elwes is doing, obviously, like a press tour for his book. Of course, his book was sold in the lobby. And so he's doing a lot of these around the country. So keep an eye out because
maybe you too can
go see him.
If you get a chance to see him, he's a really, really funny guy.
Yeah, he's very entertaining. And
he does, apparently, you were saying the book on tape, he reads it and he does all the voices for everybody.
That's what
my
friend told me because I read the book just from the library, just the print version. But she said she listened to the audiobook and he has lots of wonderful little quotes and blurbs from all the other actors. And he apparently imitates their voices when he's reading
it. He was doing it when he was talking during his interview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So he's pretty good at doing voices.
Yeah, he really is. He really is. So it was just very fun, very fun, very nostalgic and very fun.
Yep.
So what do you want? Do you want to tell us? Oh, tell us about It since we're on movies.
Oh, yeah,
so last week Matt was about to go see It,
the horror movie. And I rewatched the original before I went to go see it.
Oh, that was smart. Yeah.
I think I rewatched it afterwards.
Okay, so you could compare that. That's good.
So I've rewatched the miniseries and I watched it and so I originally wasn't gonna go see it, but people like the reviews were so good and everybody was saying, oh, it's so good and it was doing really well, so I want to go see it.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course for you, not of course for me, because I don't do horror.
I mean,
what'd you think?
I enjoyed it. It was good. My biggest problem with I'll just get this out of the way.
Yeah.
My biggest problem with it was the guy who was playing Pennywise.
Okay.
I think his name's Bill Skarsgård. And I feel like his attempt at Pennywise was just wrong. It like
how so?
He he was super serious about it. Like,
okay,
it in the first scene where he's talking to Georgie in the sewer grate, he's like, he's almost doing like a Heath Ledger Joker impersonation.
Oh,
playing it very serious. It's like, in the if you contrast it to the original Tim Curry, when you first meet Pennywise, he's being very friendly. He's like, he's like, hi, Georgie, and I am Pennywise the clown. And he's just like, he's playing it like he's pretending to actually be a clown.
Right.
But in the new one, he's just kind of like, he's talking in this real low voice, like,
almost like Batman. Like,
I'm Pennywise the dancing clown. It's like, nobody thinks that's like, you're clearly trying to be creepy.
Right.
Like I feel like he could have played it more straight and it would have been way better.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he was trying really hard. And
yeah,
there was like one scene where like he was dancing that I was like, kind of like, okay, that's kind of cool. But other than that, like all the other scenes, it's like, he would show up, he would smile, try to do something like try to be creepy. And then he would run at the camera in this like real janky way that they would like speed up. It just was not scary. Like it was not, it wasn't scary and it wasn't creepy either. Like,
yeah,
when you're trying that hard,
right,
it doesn't come across. Now, that out of the way, if you ignore the parts with Pennywise, the rest of the movie was fantastic.
Oh, like, okay.
All the kids were really, really good.
Okay.
We really got the sense that, you got to see their characterization throughout the movie, and it was that's really cool. Well done.
Okay.
And
okay,
all the kids did a pretty good job acting.
Yeah.
The girl who played Beth was really good.
Okay.
And it overall, that whole arc, it had a very Goonies 80s feel to it.
Oh, that's cool.
They moved it to the 80s where the original was in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
Now, you could kind of say that the new one is kind of the inverse of the old one. Because the old one, all the parts with the kids was terrible.
Oh,
it was
just interesting.
It was just, nobody in that movie could act.
Oh.
But all the parts with Pennywise were amazing. Because Pennywise was Tim Curry, and he was fantastic. I mean, if you want to have a good time, just watch all of Pennywise's scenes from the old show. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I know when you got home after you'd rewatched the other one, you said if they could just cut in Tim Curry's scene to the modern one, it would be like the perfect movie.
That would be
movie.
So good. That would be the perfect movie. Yeah. That would be really great. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if it was the actor. It's probably the actor, but like,
and it seems like with Tim Curry being so iconic, and maybe he was trying too hard to be his own interpretation.
I think he was, but
and therefore he tried to be the opposite of what Tim Curry was, and it didn't come off well. Maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what else Bill Skarsgård has been in, but
I don't know either.
I just wish they had gotten somebody a little bit different. If he had just played it more straight instead of trying to be super creepy all the time, it would have been more interesting. Because
the thing is, clowns are creepy by themselves. Like, you don't have to add a lot to clowns to make them creepy. And especially if you have one who starts out being friendly and then their actions show how creepy they are.
It's great because Tim Curry was always kind of like being kind of like friendly, but then he was like also eating you, trying to eat you whenever he could.
Yeah, and like that's horrifying.
And he would be like telling jokes and stuff, and it was just great. Like,
I mean, I could see where that's a totally horrifying concept to have someone who seems friendly and yet be cannibal. Like,
and it just felt, because like there's a lot of scenes in this story where Pennywise shows up and scares them, and then nothing happens.
Oh.
And it's like, this makes that more obvious when he's just like not, when he's not carrying those scenes as Pennywise, it kind of sticks out more.
Right.
But overall, it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it was definitely enjoyable.
Like, you're glad you saw it. Yeah.
I'm glad I went to go see it. You know, I mean, I understand why people liked it. I just wish they would have gone a different direction with Pennywise. Like, I know they're never going to be Tim Curry. And I don't even think, like, it's not that it was different. It's just, it wasn't scary at all.
Right.
It's like those scenes were not, you know, they weren't psychological. They weren't creepy. They were just like, okay, this guy's being Pennywise. Like, he's trying to be, he's like doing a bad Heath Ledger Joker impersonation. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you haven't seen it, you like horror, go see it. It's, you know, it's a good coming of age, teenage film.
Yeah.
This happens to be rated R.
Yeah.
Somebody was saying too that like because they moved it to the '80s, like a lot of the social commentary that was present in the old story in the book kind of wasn't there. I mean, it was that wasn't so much like that didn't really come across to me in the old series either. That was set in the '50s.
Okay.
Other than they said the N word a couple of times to Mike's character. I don't know. Like
that was in the old one. I guess.
Yeah, that was in the old one, but I mean. I understand why they moved it to the '80s because there's a lot of nostalgia right now for the '80s
with Stranger Things and all that.
Yeah. People love it. So it probably helped it that they, that they did that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Go check it out. If you like horror, if you're into horror, go see it for sure.
Well,
you're going to see it. You've probably seen it already, but
something else you can check out. We were talking about some of my new favorite games last week, and I was talking about Gardenscapes, which is an app game, and it's a match three, but
Candy Crush.
I've never played Candy Crush, but each level has a little strategic goal and it's different and it uses your brain a lot. But what I love about it in Gardenscapes is that you remodel this beautiful garden in an old mansion as you win each level. Well, guess what? They have a new game called Homescapes and it's the same characters. The butler goes home to visit his parents and he's devastated that they're going to sell this dilapidated mansion that they live in. Don't ask me how a humble butler grows up in a mansion. I mean, I don't even understand that.
Well,
but
that's what you do when you when
but
you
his parents, though. But why did his parents live there? And how come they own it? I don't know. But anyway, it's so much fun because I love interior decorating and gardening. So it's like
your favorite in
one
thing.
I know in one of my games I get to redecorate the parents' house. And I love it because like for each decorating choice that you earn, you get like three choices. So like if you're going to replace the couch, you get three choices for what styles you're going to do. So you could really make it your own and personalize it. And it's the same with the garden too. So I'm just having a blast. And plus, this is one of those games where you have a limited number of lives and they recharge every half hour.
Yes.
And of course, it's got in-app purchases and all that. So don't get sucked into the in-app purchases. Please don't. But
when I get a phone bill, it's $1,000.
No, it's all right. You're not going to get that because I'm not getting sucked into that. But the thing is, now that I have two games that I love, it's like I get twice as much playtime before, you know, my lives run out.
So you
that's
can do both.
Exactly.
When you get done with
exactly. And also the nice thing with this is too, it's not like Gardens of Time, which I talked about last week, where your lives get drained each time you make an attempt. You only lose your life if you lose the level. So if you win the level, you can keep playing because you haven't lost a life. So
that's pretty cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I've been having a lot of fun this week with my brain teaser games. I love brain teaser games, so
yeah,
I really like it.
Well, you've been spending a lot of time on it for sure.
I definitely have.
Go up there and you're still got the light on.
I know. Matt thinks I'm going to bed and I'm like, well, it's just relaxing me. One more level. And you know, they say you're not supposed to do stuff like that before you go to sleep. But my problem in life has always been that my brain is too busy before when I try to go to sleep. And that's why I can't sleep. So it actually kind of numbs my brain out a little bit. And I find it helps me sleep better, but they say for most people, you shouldn't be looking at your screen and playing games like that when you're trying to go to bed.
I don't
really what that you shouldn't be looking like at screens or that it helps
to
me
look
sleep
at
better.
Screens?
Yeah, that's a big thing these days. They're saying that like something about the light on your screen and also that keeps you up later.
Yeah, well,
it makes it harder to fall asleep.
Next thing they're going
to
be telling us is that sugar's bad for us. So,
baby, I wonder. Yeah, and that coffee.
Apparently,
caffeine.
Smoking and cigarettes are bad for us too. I bet.
You see how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't buy that.
I've been playing
a couple of the games. Me and my friends, I don't know how we ended up doing this, but we started playing League of Legends again, which we hadn't played in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
We've only been playing the Arum modes, though, which is...
What does that mean?
It's all random, all middle. So instead of having the three lanes like you would in a typical League of Legends game, you have a single lane,
and
then all of your heroes are selected at random.
Oh, okay. Now, are you still playing against live people? Or
you're playing against other people, but it's kind of like a fun game mode that was...
Yeah.
People started playing... Like, they used to have to make custom games. Now they have a queue for it.
Oh, okay.
But it's just like... It's usually... games last 30 minutes.
Yeah, so you're not as sucked in for as long.
And it's basically just fighting the whole time. You're not, there's not a whole lot of like jungling or all this other
stuff. So it's kind of like the light version.
Yeah,
like
nobody really takes it seriously, too. Yeah. It's just supposed to be like a fun way to play the game. And we just started doing that like to kind of all of us to relax. And
yeah.
Something that we could just do and enjoy and not worry about
yeah,
too much.
Because cool.
I think my friend Todd was playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds a lot, and he said that was getting super serious, and he felt like stress whenever he played it. So
yeah.
My brother he's real into StarCraft, so we were playing the StarCraft Remastered.
Now you said that's kind of like a strategy game, right?
It's a real time strategy game. It's where you build and create units and fight other armies and stuff. Mm-hmm. So. Steve's real into that, so we were trying some co-op games against the computer and stuff. I'm not good at those games at all. I am just god-awful at real-time strategy games. They've never really been my...
Yeah.
Like, I've played them before, and like I enjoy them sometimes, but I'm just no good at them.
Right.
That's why he's like, do you want to play against... I was like, I don't want to play against you. I'm terrible.
Let's play together. Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently, so I found this out, the StarCraft 2 now has like a co-op mode, which I think we're going to check out the next time we play.
Oh, cool.
So
that's very cool.
So that, yeah, that's pretty cool. The only other game I've really played was, I downloaded Guild Wars 2.
No, it's that.
It's a MMO.
Okay.
It's an older one.
Is it kind of like World of Warcraft?
Yeah, it's like that. It's been out for a while. I never really played much into it.
Uh-huh.
But I've been wanting to play an MMO, and it's like, I tried Rift, and Rift didn't really seem interesting. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, you know, I never really got into Guild Wars, because I only got my character like level 20 or something. So
oh, okay.
I figure out, if I got nothing better to do, I'll give that a shot and see if I enjoy it at all. But other than that, just been playing League of Legends. And
one thing
I did want to talk about.
What's
so
that?
I've gotten in the habit of hitting up thrift stores a couple times a week.
Yeah.
Hoping I'll find something decent.
Wonderful treasures.
Something I can fix. But I went to the one that you recommended, and that ended up not having anything. Hmm. So I was like, I just looked up on I looked up on Google Maps. I was like, what's the closest thrift store? And there's one like 6 miles away. So I was so I went to this one. This one was huge. They had like
all kinds of stuff.
And right there in the corner was an 8mm projector.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my goodness. I grabbed it and I found a place to plug it in. I plugged it in and it started up.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Because I've got all that old film from my grandparents that's all 8mm that I couldn't do anything
with. Right, because somehow his grandparents had gotten rid of the projector. Or someone had gotten rid of the projector for them. Or they have it.
Somebody might have taken it. But
okay. So yeah, we have all these films from his grandparents. And he didn't have any way to play them.
I had like equipment that where you could cut it, like splice it together.
Uh-huh.
And like all this different stuff, but I had nothing to play it on.
Interesting. So, that was
a really great
find.
So it was like $40. I got it home. The take-up reel wasn't spinning.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to take it apart. And apparently one of the gears in this thing has the way it's designed, when it gets old, it like seizes up.
Okay.
So I had to like drill a new hole in it to make it wider.
Gotcha.
Now it plays great. I was showing you last night.
Yeah, it was really cool. We could watch the little videos and stuff. It was really fun.
Gives me flashbacks to when I worked at the movie theater,
like
playing with that old projector.
Yeah,
because I used to work at AMC, and I was the projectionist there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but man, those old home projectors were poor. Like, trying to thread film through it is a pain.
Yeah.
It is difficult. Like, you've got to
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, like there's not an easy way to do it. It would take me several minutes just to get it in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's really cool. No, I'm glad it works because I've got all the other stuff. I've even got a screen over there that I can set up to play it with.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I've got like all the stuff, everything. I had everything but the projector.
Yeah. So now you got the missing piece. Yay. Yeah. And that'll be really nice. And then you can like digitize the videos and have them for your family to see.
Yeah.
And stuff
I think
like
I'm going to set up a dark room and just project it and then use my webcam to capture
it. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
No, and I know your family's going to really appreciate that.
Yeah. So we got Extra Life coming up.
Yes, next
month.
Just a couple weeks.
I want to talk about spend a little bit more time talking about it than I normally do, but
So by the way, while he's getting ready to do that, remember Extra Life supports our local children's hospital, and all the money goes directly to patient care. No administrative fees taken out at all. And we support the Children's Hospital in D.C. And Matt will play at least 1 minute of any game that he owns per dollar you donate.
Or if it's a game I can get a hold of easily.
Right, like a free game or something that he can easily get.
I'm not going to spend $80 on a game because you donated $5 for me to play a game for 5 minutes.
Exactly. But if there's a silly game or something you want to see him play on his stream.
If you always wanted to make me play Candy Crush for an hour.
Like his mom did last year or the year before. You know, yeah.
Goat Simulator or something.
Uh-huh. I think I made you play the Doctor Who computer game with me that 1 year, but we had trouble with it. That's a difficult game.
That was a difficult game.
It's a difficult game, and it just made us mad.
Because, like, yeah, we weren't being, like, we didn't really want to be challenged that much. We just wanted to play
exactly.
the Doctor Who game together.
Exactly, and it turned out to be a
real. You got
to
run and do all this stuff in a certain time. And
yeah, it was not fun. It was too hard.
So I'm going to be streaming on my Twitch channel October 28th and 29th, I believe.
Okay.
I'll do 2 12-hour streams, and we're going to, I don't know what we're going to play. We might play League of Legends, we might play Gigantic, we might play StarCraft.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Whatever I feel like playing at the time is usually what I end up playing.
Yes.
I'll try to play some game that's at least somewhat interesting, like maybe a player versus player game or something.
Yeah, something that you'll enjoy watching.
It's
going to
be like a snooze fest. But
So if you all donate, it could be like a really exciting time. You could see lots of silly stuff.
It could be a really boring time.
Or it could be a really boring time if you want to see a goat simulator for like 2 hours.
Yeah. But if you guys, Extra Life, I'll put a link to my Extra Life page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have links actually in every episode, I think.
And
to it,
if you're interested in Extra Life, you should sign up and you should do a 24-hour marathon too.
Absolutely, get people to donate money. It helps whatever children's hospital you want.
You know, I think it's really important for people to do some sort of charity.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like something. Like you don't have to do a ton, but do something because I think it gives your life meaning, and I think it helps a lot with like depression and you know, just a lot of things. It's a good healthy practice to do. You know, you should have at least one thing that you do. That's why I do Extra Life. That's why we do the fostering because I think
that's
it's important.
Thing.
It's
it
important
is.
To have those things, and it's like there's a personal benefit when you do that kind of stuff too.
Yes. It pays off in your own life.
It's not real.
Like you don't do it to get something out of it, but at the same time, it makes you feel like a better human being.
Yeah, but
and
you
it,
do get
exactly,
something out of
exactly.
It.
You do.
It you know, and I think it's important. Like if you want to have a good balanced life, I think I think charity is a very important thing.
That's why we always have the charity links in our show.
Yeah, and that's coming from someone who's not religious at all. Like I'm an atheist. And I still understand that, like, if you want to live a happy life, you should do something that gets you to stop thinking about yourself for a little bit.
Exactly. And I actually am religious. We have an interfaith marriage I don't know if interfaith is the right word, but it's like, do something to give back to the world.
Yeah.
Because it is positive for you.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to become your whole life. Just pick one thing that you believe in, you like, and do what you can for it.
Exactly.
I think you'll see the benefits of it.
Exactly. And actually I would say, I think the combination, since we're on this topic, of donating both time and money is valuable, because I find if you only donate one or the other, you tend to get a little out of balance. So it's generally helpful, even if you don't give a lot of either, it's generally helpful to give a little bit.
Yeah,
I usually
like I'll donate to other people on on my team, like the Game Enthused team on Extra
Exactly.
Life.
Shout well,
out
and
to
like
Game Enthused.
Yes, Game Enthused. Woohoo! And like we as a couple, Matt has more gotten on board with my charities that I like. But yeah, it's like, you know, we donate to charities and stuff like that, as well as give time. So it's just a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's not bad. What do we got coming up in the next couple of weeks?
What do we have besides Halloween?
Oh yeah, we got
that's
not in a couple of weeks. We're gonna have another show before Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, in a couple of weeks. Is Thor coming out? Thor's coming out pretty soon in October, right?
Upcoming movies. I want to see what.
Yeah.
Preview. The Ninjago movie came out.
Oh dear.
It didn't do well apparently.
No.
Movie's opening this week.
Well, we love Lego Batman.
When is
but
Thor? I don't think Thor is opening till November, though.
I thought something was opening in October, though.
Opening in October.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to be looking for scary movies to go see. That's...
Oh, Lord, I'm not. Well, actually, we're going to have to find... Because, so, I don't like horror movies. I will do zombies. I will do some vampires, but nothing else. Oh, mummies. Oh, I'll do some mummies.
Oh,
what?
Blade Runner 2045.
Oh, we'll have to go see that.
On the 6th.
Of October?
So...
Okay, we'll talk about that next episode,
so
everybody.
So we'll be talking about Blade Runner.
What? And we'll actually, we'll have to rewatch the original one, because I want to see the original one again before
watch
we go
the
see
origi-
it.
Let's watch, not watch the director's cut.
Oh, no, I don't,
I don't
the
like
director's
the director's cut.
No.
I know, like...
I think we talked about that another episode, actually. Yeah. But yeah, we're not fans of the Blade Runner director's cut. No.
Yeah, it's just confusing.
Nah,
to me.
It's not.
Like,
it's not.
It was the first version of that movie I saw, and I thought it was really boring.
Yeah.
But then when I saw it with the narration, I was like, oh, okay, this is more interesting.
Yeah, that's basically the general consensus I've heard from people.
I mean, if that makes me dumb, I'm dumb. But
no, that's really what I've heard from people. And, you know. So anyway, good. Blade Runner's coming up.
Oh, Tyler Perry's Boo 2. I don't think I'm going to see that.
I like the Madea movies, but I've never seen Boo 1.
I've never seen a Madea movie.
They are really kind of funny. They're really kind of hilarious, actually.
I don't know. I might be willing to give it a chance, but we'll have to check out the local AFI and see if they got any special Halloween movies.
Sometimes
playing.
They have Count Gordeville come and do a feature.
Yeah, I hope he does that this year.
Yeah, well, I hope it's on a day you're not working, because sometimes Matt's working and so we can't go.
Yeah, Gordeville is, if you're not from this area, he's like this old school monster movie host guy.
From public access television, right? Yeah.
If you live down in Florida, you guys know Paul Reaper. Was our guy who did the creature feature.
Okay, yeah.
He passed away a little bit ago. Aww. But he did the same kind of thing. He'd
do like the spooky dressing up and hosting and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So it's a lot of fun. The AFI Silver in Silver Spring, they show a lot of old movies and classic movies, and then they'll actually get the Count to come down in person in his little costume, and he'll host like a really old school, like maybe the original Mummy or like the original things like that. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's fun. He's real nice. He's a nice guy, too. He was chatting with us when we were waiting in line.
Yeah, for the last one
last year.
Yeah, because I had my TARDIS on my shirt, and he really likes Doctor Who, apparently.
Yeah, and we were just talking about like Star Trek and all this different stuff. He's a really cool guy.
Very nice guy.
So we'll let you know if we're going to be going to that this
month. But so we'll have to come to some kind of compromise, because we like to watch like a Halloween movie at home during Halloween while we hand out candy, but it's we have to find one that I can tolerate that's spooky enough. So we might have to do like Mystery Science Theater or something.
Yeah,
we'll have to see. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll
like
try and draw some spooky spooky rats for
that would be fun. That would be fun for our art for our page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
As always, you can feel free to donate to one of our two favorite charities. We have got Small Angels Rescue, which does all the wonderful rescue work with the small animals in the area. And we also, of course, have Matt's Extra Life stream. Yeah. So you can donate to that. All the proceeds go to Children's Hospital Miracle Network.
Yep. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.
See you next time.
Bye.